Hello, you 11s. We have another podcast here on Macbeth, and this time we're going to be looking at the theme of kingship. So, take it away.
Okay, so before I start talking about Macbeth as a whole, I'm going to define the divine right of kings because it's quite important. Basically, by definition, the divine right of kings is a political and religious doctrine of royal and political legitimacy. It asserts that no monarch is subjected to earthly authority, deriving the right to rule directly from the will of God, which basically means if you are like the king, it means you're chosen by God. You weren't born into the role, you were chosen by an unearthly figure. And this is quite important in Macbeth because the whole thing was basically written by Shakespeare in honour of King James I in the Jacobean era. This whole play was based on a king himself. Like, King Duncan is a symbol of King James. And this is because of, like, the importance of the loyalties to the king, both in the Jacobean era and the 11th century, when the play was set.
Wow.
King Duncan, he's represented as a noble and worthy king, but then he also sees other people in this play, such as Macbeth, as the same as what he has seen. Like, he says things such as, "O valiant cousin, worthy gentleman," and he says this to Macbeth. This is quite interesting because it's sort of like a dramatic irony, I suppose, considering the fact that we eventually see that Macbeth is not a well-suited king, but Duncan puts a lot of trust in him, and that kind of backfires on him when he later murders him. This all kind of links to a certain philosophical term, which is called determinism, which is basically where everything that happens in your life is supposed to happen. You can't decide it no matter what you do. And that kind of runs within Macbeth as a theme. Like, Duncan was fated to die. Macbeth was fated to murder him, which is all sort of similar to the prophecies that the witches were telling them when they said, like, Macbeth's prophecy was leaving him fated to be king, whilst Banquo's left him to be the father of a king. This is just one of the sort of running motifs in Macbeth that link to kingship, but another one would be appearance versus reality when it comes to things like kingship, of course. Like I said before, where we see Macbeth as quite a disloyal man who goes against the king to get what he wants because he's quite pushed forward by greed and selfishness. But Duncan, who is the ideal king, sees him as a good man and worthy to take the throne next.
Good. Is kingship enough for Macbeth?
I think that Macbeth just wants power. I don't think he cares how he gets it, if he is king. It's like he got the Thane of Cawdor title from what he had before, mm-hmm. and that wasn't enough, so he pushed for king. And then when he gets to king, it would have been like he looked for something more, because all he wants is power over everything.
And do you think that the power sort of satisfies him, Courtney?
No, I don't, because as the story progresses, it turns into the fact that he doesn't just want to be king, he wants his children to be king and his children's children to be king. So it's something that he wants to keep within his family, like he thinks he deserves it.
Yeah, do you think he deserves it?
Well, like, at the beginning, he did, because he had, like, all the right features that you need in a king. Like, he was brave and fierce. But then afterwards, when, like, the prophecies took over him, it just kind of, it led to his downfall, and afterwards he was just kind of like traitorous and everything that you shouldn't have to be a king. So no.
What do you think? What sort of properties do you think are essential to rule?
Well, I feel like it kind of depends on the person that they were, because a lot of the good qualities could also be their downfall.
Yeah.
Like,
do we know the term for that?
Marsha.
Well done.
Things like being trusting and a good man are things that Duncan had in him. He was a very trusting man. He trusted the people that he watched over, and he trusted the colleagues that he had to work alongside. But that trust led to his death, because he trusted so much in Macbeth
good.
That he was able to go into his home and be killed by him. And things like being a good man, where he would want to give Macbeth the title of Thane of Cawdor because he thinks he deserves it. But then little did he know, he was kind of just spurring Macbeth on and giving him, he was like spoon-feeding him a little taste of what power would be mm-hmm. like when you get more, which I think led Macbeth to sort of demonstrate to us why he wasn't the man that we thought he was in the very beginning.
Yeah, excellent. I agree. Do you think that people should obey the king at all costs? So, for example, what I'm getting at here is when Macbeth became king, should people have become loyal to Macbeth? And if not, why not?
No, I don't think they should have, because going on what they believed in the Jacobean era, the divine right of king, he wasn't the one chosen by God, so he isn't the person they should be loyal to, because he kind of ruined the divine right of kings and the great chain of being, so why should they stick with him?
Excellent. Any final things to add about the theme of kingship?
Well, it's not so much precisely about a king himself in terms of kingship, but I think it's quite important as a significant point in the play, which was actually the evening in which Duncan was murdered. In that actual text, it said, as a quote, "Not unaccompanied, invest him only but signs of nobleness, like stars shall shine on all deserves." But there, as it was described in the text, there were no stars when the murder was committed, showing it's like God was looking down on him and he's undeserving of the title he's about to steal.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it all kind of links back to God, who is like the ultimate power, which is like what Macbeth is sort of surging for, even though he can't.
Excellent. Well done, guys. Thank you very much.